This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. College tuition is a major expense for many families in Arkansas. Scholarships and loans can help immediately, but there's also help that can be applied each April, a college tuition tax credit. Arkansas Senator Mark Pryor is trying to get the word out about the credit that allows for a dollar back on taxes for each dollar spent for the first $2,000 that is applied to tuition for many middle-class households. Joining me on the phone now is Senator Mark Pryor. Welcome back to Ozarks at Large.
Well, thank you. It's great to have me, and you're exactly right. This is a tax provision that's already in the law that folks can get. It's up to $2,500. We estimate that most people in Arkansas, if they qualify for it, will probably get about $1,500 tax credit for this. And the important thing here is that this was also on the books last year, and only 31% of the people in our state who are eligible took advantage of it. So there's probably close to 100,000 families in Arkansas that could have received this tax credit last year and didn't. And so now that it's tax season, we want to make sure that families who have kids in college, they should take advantage of this, but they can also amend their returns from last year and hopefully claim, you know, it's up to $2,500. So, listen, I just hope people will take advantage of this. And it was in the stimulus bill, so it's possible that, you know, some of the CPAs, some of the tax preparers around the state didn't quite pick it up or whatever, but less than a third of the people took advantage of it.
An estimated $200 million that didn't go to Arkansans?
Yeah, that's right. If you look at the numbers, and these are based on the IRS figures from last year, if you look at the numbers, it was actually 31.7% of the people took advantage of it. They qualified for it, but they just didn't exercise their option. And that means about $200 million of tax credits that were available to Arkansans we're not taking advantage of. So, you know, that's real money for folks. And you said it right that the cost of going to college is the biggest burden right now. This would have a very beneficial effect on most families' checkbooks right now. This is a real kitchen table issue. And we want people in our state to go to college. We want them to graduate. It's very important for their future, but also the future of our state. So, I encourage people to try to take advantage of this year if they're in college or if they have children who are in college.
You said an average of $2,500 per student in a family. Over 4 years of college, it's $10,000.
That really adds up. And, you know, we're just hoping that it's a provision that for some reason, and don't know why, maybe, you know, programs like TurboTax or whatever that people use just didn't pick it up. I'm not sure. Maybe there was confusion about it, I'm not sure, but there were two-thirds of the people in the state did not take advantage of it. So we certainly want them to do that this year. It'll help them on their tax burden, and it'll keep more people in college.
And this is if your child is going to college in Arkansas or outside the state?
Or outside the state, that's right. This is in the federal tax code, so yes, it doesn't matter where they're going. There is a formula, so it's going to be a little different from family to family, but this is something that certainly I hope most Arkansans will take advantage of.
Speaking of money and spending, earlier this month you presented a spending cut package, and you're asking residents of the state to weigh in as well. First of all, what are you hearing?
Well, let me ask folks, if they have ideas on how to cut spending, please email me at cutspending@prior.senate.gov. It's all one word, all lowercase, cutspending@prior.senate.gov. This morning when I came in, I went through a big stack of, it was probably 20, 30, 40 different ideas from people around Arkansas that they've already sent in on how to cut spending. And you know, there's all kinds of different ideas. I mean, there are folks who want to try to decrease maybe military spending. There are folks who say that, you know, clearly there's a lot of duplication with federal programs or a lot of federal programs that don't work, and we're looking at those. In fact, I have more on that in just a second. But we are we're collecting these ideas, and hopefully what we'll do is be able to package these up and file legislation, and, you know, hopefully we can find ways to save money. And let me say one last thing before I go on. Last year, the committee, one of the committees I serve on, the Homeland Security Committee, we requested GAO to do a study to tell us ways that they think we can save money in existing federal programs, et cetera. They came out last week with a book. It's 350 pages long of recommendations, basically, that goes through every agency, every department of the federal government, and finds dead-end programs, duplication programs where you can't, that are just a total waste of money, or some that you just can't measure if the money's being spent effectively. So they have a set of recommendations in there that we think will save the taxpayers about $200 billion over the next 10 years. It actually might be a lot more than that, but some of them are hard to quantify because just the nature of the recommendations. So what I've done is I've written a letter to all the various departments, all the agencies involved, and I've asked them to report back to Congress on the steps they're taking to try to implement the savings that GAO is recommending. So then we'll get that, but our next step here in the Congress is to work with our committees and subcommittees, et cetera, in the Congress and try to make sure that we are following the GAO recommendations. So this is a way to save money, to cut spending, to lower the deficit, but to do it in a very smart and sensible way.
House has its budget. The president has submitted his. Is there a pretty good chance there will be a budget without the shutdown of the government?
You know, it's really hard to tell at this point. I would say this. This is a time where we need to just turn off the rhetoric. And there's really hot rhetoric on both sides of this. We need to turn off the rhetoric. We need to see some real leadership here in the Congress. And by the way, I'm willing to make the hard decisions. I'm willing to do what I think is right long term for the state and for the nation. So I've sort of signed up to get in here and, you know, get my hands dirty trying to get this fixed. And I just think you don't play politics with this. But you've seen a lot of politics right now, and what folks in Washington need to do, they need to turn off the rhetoric, forget about the partisan elements of this, and just really focus on ways that we can get this fiscal house back in order. There's two issues here. One is you have the spending, the budget, for the next 6 months, and that goes from now till September. That's really what all the fire and smoke is about right now, but truthfully, no matter how much we save there, if you look at it in the big picture, that doesn't really move the needle that much. And certainly, I support cuts right now, and you know, I've supported the Democratic package, and I'm waiting for the Republicans to maybe find common ground with us on this. And I think this is one we have to work together. But the real challenge is the long-term solution. And what I would recommend, and unless someone has a better idea, what I would recommend is that we take the recommendations of the Debt Commission and we overlay those on top of our federal budget, and basically we follow their recommendations and get us back into a balanced budget situation. Now, that's going to take us about 10 years. I mean, no one here is serious about this. No one here is talking about trying to do this in 1 year or 2 years. And also, this is one of the criticisms I would have of what we're doing right now, and this is criticism that would actually go for the House bill and also the Senate bill. All we're doing is we're talking about discretionary spending cuts. And the truth is, when you look at our budget picture, you cannot balance the budget just on discretionary spending. You have to get into entitlements, and you have to get into the tax code. And, you know, this is something that the Debt Commission made very clear. So I hope that we can get through these next 6 months. I certainly hope we don't shut the government down. I think that's the last resort, and that would indicate that we've just had gridlock and we just can't get it done. But I hope we find a solution for the next 6 months. But much more important than that is, you know, the next number of years, whether it's 6 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is, to get our fiscal house back in order. So, again, anyone who has ideas on this, you can always email me at that email address I gave you a minute ago, cutspending@prior.senate.gov, and we'll look at anything anyone has, any ideas anyone has on any of this. We certainly will consider everything that folks from Arkansas suggest.
I know we have very limited time here, but any discussion about balancing the budget has to include discussions about Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid?
That is correct. It has to. If you look at the size of the federal government and all of our spending and look at the whole picture, the so-called entitlement programs, they take up about two-thirds of the budget, and they're growing every year. In fact, if we didn't do any entitlement reform, in 15 years, entitlement spending would equal our total spending today. Mm. So we have about 15 years here, and everything else gets crowded out. And so we just have to come to terms with that. And there's a lot of reform that we can do in Medicare and Social Security that really don't adversely affect the people that are on Medicare and Social Security today. It may change the age limit or something for Social Security for folks who are teenagers today, but it won't touch the benefits for folks that are 65 and older today. So there are things we can do, and that's why I say we need to throw the rhetoric out the window. If we have people that are just shouting at each other, we're never going to get any of this done. We have to really work through this in a very bipartisan way, and what I would recommend is we follow Ronald Reagan's example. Back in the 80s, when Social Security was in very dire straits, he reached out to Tip O'Neill and other Democrats, and he had bipartisanship. They sat down, they worked through Social Security together, and they did do a fix, and the fix was for like 40 years. It was a great success, but they did it in a bipartisan way, so everybody kind of shared the blame and shared the credit for it, and it took it totally out of the political environment and really turned out to be something good for the country.
Senator Mark Pryor, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.